Good morning and welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast on the 3rd of July, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, joined today by Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller with the news, including a review of the volatility in the markets last year. And they also review tar spot last year and how to prepare for it this year. The HAT podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit FFBT.com to learn more. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has snow totals for an upcoming system moving through Indiana. And the corn and soybean markets traded just above even on the first day of trade for the year yesterday. Mike Silver will check in with market analysis here on the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at FFBT.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Equal opportunity lender. Member FDIC.
Good signs ahead for the grain markets and finding the right product to battle tar spot in 25. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Volatility may be the best word to describe the grain markets in 2024. CJ Miller takes a look back at how grain prices performed over the past 12 months and reports how there are some good signs for 2025.
2024 is going to go down as a year that had its ups and downs.
And that's Carl Setzer with Consus Ag Consulting, even though the year ended more down than up. If you take the nearby contracts for corn, wheat, and soybeans on the last trading day of 2023 and compare those to the last trading day of 2024, you'll find that corn has fallen by 12¾ cents a bushel. Wheat is down by 76.5 cents a bushel, but the biggest drop has been in soybeans, which has fallen by $2.95 a bushel. Setzer says at one point, grain prices were on track to end even lower.
It actually subsided a little bit as we got through the first part of the holiday season. And then in the year end, we saw the big volatility come back in with heavy fund positioning and funds really adding to their corn complex throughout December, taking it to over 200,000 contracts to the long side. Then all of a sudden we get to the end of the month and the funds played catch up in the soy complex. And that's what gave us our big gains going into the New Year's break.
Overall, Setzer says there are signs that point to a little bit of optimism for grain prices as we start off 2025.
Our market gradually came back to these levels, and it really didn't slow down our demand at all. We will see demand slow a little bit as we move into 2025, but it seasonally does. That's not going to come as a shock. The thing is, we are well ahead of where we typically are for sales and for domestic demand, and that's starting to edge our market higher. I'm not saying we won't see corrections, but the market is definitely telling us that it is comfortable at today's levels, which is a good sign moving forward.
You can hear much more from Carl Setzer at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
Tar spot was found in all 92 Indiana counties in 2024, and in southern Indiana, it moved in early and aggressively.
And I think that that caught a lot of people off guard.
That's Madison Wozniak, Technical Service Manager for FMC.
You know, historically, we're choosing products based on southern rust performance. We're not really thinking heavily about tar spot because generally, they saw it move in, you know, late in September. At that point, not influencing grain yield significantly. They didn't think they were going to have to manage tar spot the same way guys in the northern part of the state did, and I think that's going to influence decision making in 2025.
Wozniak says if you're looking for the right fungicide to help battle tar spot, FMC has what you're looking for.
We just launched a product in 2024, a Adastrio fungicide. It's a foliar fungicide, three motive actions are represented, and it's going to be strong against tar spot, southern rust, northern corn leaf blight, and gray leaf spot. So all of the diseases that could blight your farm operation, we've got you covered.
Of course, fungicide timing timing is everything.
If we can make that application around R2, R3, it seems to be that it's paying off. So one of the tools that you could employ if you're worried about, well, there are other diseases that move in earlier, maybe earlier than we expect to see the tar spot. There are other management strategies that we can employ, such as a Xyway fungicide that can help hold off some of those early onset diseases like gray leaf spot, northern corn leaf blight, also managing our stock and crown diseases.
Hear more in the Full Hat interview with FMC's Wozniak at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit MidAmerica is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We've been tracking a big winter storm that wants to move across the eastern Corn Belt to finish the weekend and move into next week. We've been telling you all along, let's wait for this track to get really settled in here before we throw any snow totals at you. Well, the day has come. That day is today. We're going to be revealing our snow totals here and the breakdown for the state. But before we get to the Sunday event, Saturday night, Sunday, early Monday, we need to talk about nearby here. I don't think we see a lot of new snow here today. We had that brief little spat that came overnight that gave some parts of the state a fresh coating to an inch in spots. I do think whatever you got overnight into the early part of this morning, I think it stays because we're chilly, but I do expect clouds to give way to some sunshine this afternoon to help move some melt along here a little bit. We are then dry from this afternoon through tomorrow. Decent weather conditions, honestly, for your Saturday for January, all things considered. And then we get ready for that winter storm Saturday night, Sunday, and into early Monday. Low pressure continues to want to take a more southern track. Now, some models have been trying to bump it northward ever so slightly. I'm going to stick with one that I started to zero in on yesterday. And here's what we're talking. The low moving along and just south of the Ohio River. In my mind, that puts the heaviest snow band in an area from a line from Kokomo to Crawfordsville and over to Portland in Jay County. Go south of that line, Crawfordsville, Kokomo, Portland, south to US 50. That's the area that we see the heaviest snow, but I think the entire state can have some snow coming through during the period. Here's my layout in terms of what we see. I'm calling for a coating to 2 inches from the Indiana-Michigan line down to about State Road 14, so the northern third to northern quarter of the state. Then from State Road 14 all the way down to State Road 26, give or take. All right, I know the road turns and all that, but these are general boundaries. Down to State Road 26, 1 to 4 inches, all right? And then we get into that line, Kokomo, Crawfordsville, Kokomo, Portland, southward all the way to US 50. I'm going to broad brush it with 4 to 12 inches. I fully expect there to be some 6s, some 8s, and some 10s. I don't think there'll be many 12s. This will encompass the I-70 corridor, so if you're planning on traveling, just know that could be a little bit of a mess, all right? So the biggest areas for snow are going to be in that zone. And then US 50 southward to the Ohio River, I'm saying 2 to 6 inches. There can be some rain mix in. The snow can be wetter. I won't rule out some ice, but I will also caution you, I had a couple folks reach out to me and say, oh, I've seen upwards of an inch of ice in my area. No, I don't think this is that type of storm that gives us the big 1 inches of accumulating ice kind of scenarios. I just don't see it. Now, if airflow changes, maybe we have to make some tweaks in that as we get going overnight, Saturday night into Sunday. But right now, Friday morning, I just don't see it, okay? Now, here's the thing. Once this is done, and it'll be winding down late Sunday, Sunday night into early Monday, we might see some backside flurries after sunrise on Monday morning. But when it's done, the other issue with this storm system, and we've been crowing about this all week, is the massive cold air draw that comes behind it. Arctic air on the move, frigid air in here for the rest of next week, particularly from Wednesday forward. This is going to create a good lake effect setup, so I think clouds coming off the Great Lakes are going to be something we see off and on through the rest of next week, and some lake effect snow and flurries in far northern counties and up into Michigan, but it's going to be brutally cold, below normal, even by January standards. standards as we move through the second half of next week. And that cold air will try and hold into the week following. That's the week of the Fort Wayne Farm Show. So why wouldn't it be brutally cold and give you something to want to do indoors? That's the way we see it right now. Again, a longer outlook this morning, but we really wanted to hammer in on the snow. It is coming, and if you are in central to southern Indiana, you folks are going to be on the hook for some of the bigger snow totals this time around, barring a massive change in low-pressure track. Have a great one. Be safe. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Corn and beans, once again, just a little higher. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Farm Market Review. Second day of the month, and the markets worked a little higher in corn and beans. Wheat trades a little lower. Final numbers coming up. We'll begin with market analysis. And for that, I turn at the end of trade to Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain. The new year has begun, and we start with a sell-off in corn, soybeans, and wheat, although shortly after the open, Mike, the corn and bean markets started to mount a bit of a comeback to flat and slightly higher, but the very strong dollar index seemed to be pushing on the market all day long, although there is some developing weather in South America that is supportive of our markets here.
How true, Andy. And you're absolutely right. The new year is underway now. Today's the first, obviously, full trading session of this calendar year, 2025. And as we reflect back to last year and compare our price action, especially in corn, we have seen since really the December WASDE report some nice gains. And compared to where we were last Friday, we've added 5.5 cents if we could close where we're trading right now. And going into the close here this afternoon, we've got a penny in the March contract, penny and 3/4 in the May contract. The July contract's up 1.5 cents, and the DEES is up 2.75 cents. Soybeans are, they've lost a little of their luster since mid-session, but compared to where we started, looks like we've got some green on the quote board on them. Wheat, unfortunately, is still down about 5.5 cents in the old crop, and that would be the March, and the July's down 4.75 cents. Soybean meal is strong today, up $3.80. Soybean oil down 12 cents. And as you said, the dollar index, I think, is having some impact, probably causing a little bit of negativity in our price action and some overhead resistance that we might not otherwise see. It's been a relatively quiet day overall. There's not been much fresh news to move the market in either direction, quite frankly. We are awaiting the trade estimates for the January 10th WASDE report. That'll be the final crop production report for the crop we harvested last fall. And some other reports. We'll get the quarterly grain stocks reports. We'll get the wheat seedings report. So next week, when we get a full trading regime back in the market, I think we will see obviously some more numbers to consider. And I think that we'll see probably more volume of trade next week than we've seen, obviously, are seeing today and have seen the last couple weeks. So all in all, farmers are availing themselves of the opportunity to make some sales here at the price levels that we're at. We have challenged some technical resistance levels, and by golly, 460 is our next upside target in the March contract, and we're not very far away from that right now. 459.5, as I mentioned. We are approaching, I think, an opportunity with the December corn to get started maybe lightly in some 2025 new crop sales. And the soybean market, for that matter, with the size, projected size of the South American crop, our export sales in soybeans have been reasonable, as they have been in corn. Now, we didn't get an export sales report today because of the holiday, but we'll get an export sales report tomorrow. So we'll get another look at just how we're doing in that arena. But from where we thought we would be to where we are today, our export sales are improving. They need to continue to improve. But all in all, Andy, it looks like we're probably going to have a positive close today and potential for some further upside movement as we get through the numbers from USDA next week and see a full trading regime back in the market to move prices hopefully higher. But we know volatility can come in for a variety of reasons, and we could be down too. But my hope is that we'll see some positive trade action next week.
Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain with his market analysis. You can get Mike at 800-666-0613. Now the final numbers at the close of trade on Thursday. March corn up a penny, 459.5. May 467.25, up a penny and a half. July also up a penny and a half at 470.25. 999.5 on January beans. We ended up a penny and a quarter. March up a penny and a half, 10.12. May 10.25, a gain of 2.75. And March wheat down a nickel and 3/4, 5.45 3/4, down a nickel on the May at 5.57.5. Meats mixed and a tale of definitely two different markets. February live cattle, a gain of $3.30 up to $193.60, down but just 15 cents on the February lean hogs, 81.15. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.